Hi, this is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. Today we are going to talk about a topic that's important for wellness and an area where I think we can all do better: breathing and breathwork. It's easy to do, it's cheap, and it can do a lot for our well-being and our health. We actually chose this topic because we are seeing an increasing number of reports about the fact that oxygen levels might be decreasing in our atmosphere, which obviously is not a good thing. So it seemed like it would be useful to see how we can increase the amount of air and oxygen we breathe in by discussing breath work. For this, I'm going to interview Sky Birdsall, who is with me now. Sky is a yoga guide specialized in trauma, a diet coach for chronic illness, a musician, and a sound healer. After that, we'll also hear from Dr. Robert Rowan about the medical side of things, the importance of oxygen for health, and what we can do to optimize our oxygen utilization. Sky has spent over a decade studying yoga and healing arts, and spent her entire life studying all things spiritual and mystical. Her background in music was foundational to her experience with movement, breath work, energy work, and sound healing. After spending most of her adult life in chronic pain and poor mental and physical health, she chose to heal herself naturally through yoga and nutrition. She now lives a nomadic lifestyle, sharing her passion for healing with people from everywhere. Sky, welcome to the Solari Wellness Series.
Thank you so much, Brigitte. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Would you start by telling us about your story and how you became a breathwork expert?
Sure, I can. Well, I'd love to start our session by taking a few breaths together.
Yeah, why not?
So wherever you are, just if you're able to close your eyes safely or just tune into your body, take a nice deep breath in through your nose. Open your mouth and exhale. Two more times. Deep breath in through the nose. Exhale out the mouth. And one more. Deepest breath yet. And a big exhale. And just take a moment to notice how that felt for you. And welcome yourself to listening and tuning into our message for the day. So my journey, and this is really the human journey, I consider it, and there's so many of us who are struggling with health out there, and whether it's mental or physical. So I started off with a pretty typical sad diet, right, in life, and a pretty unhappy home. So the chronic illness took hold at a very young age, the mental illness took hold at a young age. And in my teens, I was on pharmaceutical drugs for everything, antidepressants, anti-anxiety, all those things. By the time I became a young adult, I decided to take my health into my own hands. I didn't want to be that way anymore. I wanted something better for myself, and I always had this belief that we could do anything without drugs. So in college, I found yoga, and the first yoga class I ever took, it completely changed my life. I had never felt better in my body, in my life. I had mostly a lot of pain. And so that led me down this path of understanding that yoga could heal everything. And that was sort of the teaching. It was this kind of elusive thing back then. This was, you know, around 2000 or so. So as I started to feel the differences with changing my diet and all those things, the breath work started to become the most valuable at some point, because after suffering an injury, I couldn't move, and so I couldn't do the yoga poses anymore. I couldn't exercise like I usually did, and so I just had to rest. And so what do? When we rest, we get crazy in our minds, right? If we're just laying down and we have nothing to do, then the mind gets really busy. And so at that point, I had studied yoga enough where I had learned enough about breath work. And so as I used breathing practices during that time of healing, I recognized how much I could support my healing process. And so after a couple of years of rest and various healing modalities, I went out for a run one day after I was starting to feel good and strong. And I went on a 4-mile run with no problem at all. And that was the first time in my life when I didn't struggle with my breath. Even though all my life I had been into running, I was in marching band, I played trombone, which takes a good amount of breath just to play the instrument. But it wasn't until conscious breathing came in where the biggest shift started to happen. So that's why I've become so excited about this. And in my healing process, I found a man named James Hamecki, and I went to his retreat. He's a transformational bodywork therapist. And during his retreat, he had a holotropic breathwork session. And that was the first time I experienced this crazy new experience where I was in a group of about 15, 20 people maybe, and we were doing this heavy breathing exercise, and all these emotions were coming out, and super loud sounds were coming out of people, primal sounds. You know, we were tapping into a type of our humanity that I had never experienced before. And people went into some big releases, crying afterwards, and bodies were doing things that they don't normally do, you know, in that style. And what I experienced was I felt the connection, the oneness that yoga teaches. Yoga teaches that all is one. Well, I didn't feel that until I did the breath work. I didn't discover that really on a yoga mat. You know, most people get on the yoga mat, they do all these poses. A lot of teachers don't really teach about breath. They just run through these sequences of exercises. So that was the biggest shift for me, and that's why I'm so excited to share more of my experience and to just encourage everyone to take on this practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. So can we talk a little bit more about the effects of breathing on the body specifically, and also the potential effects on health as well? So we know that breathing brings oxygen to the cells, but it does much more than that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the most magical thing about our bodies is that we are light, we are energy, and each and every cell needs oxygen and energy to oxygen to produce the energy that we need to function, right? And that's the most basic level, and that's the most basic level of survival. But when we start to focus on using the breath, what we can do is not only work with the levels of serotonin in our brains, we can work with the levels of the dopamine and all these hormones that really help our mood. That one really supports the body to be happier, more relaxed. And when the body is more relaxed, it functions more efficiently. So we have a much better digestive process. We have are able to control our heart rate. We're able to, release tension and just access more areas of healing. So what happens when we breathe maybe unconsciously, for example, sitting at a desk, you know, focused on something else? The mind is focused somewhere else, and there's no attention on the body. And what we do is we breathe only the bare minimum, just enough to stay alive. And that in itself keeps us functioning at the bare minimum, right? So our bodily functions actually start to slow down so much that things like digestion and mood are affected, right? So those are two really big ones. So one practice that can be really helpful for this and really simple is to breathe into the belly. Most people breathe in their upper chest, but when we learn how to breathe into the belly, then not only do we start to move all the fluids in our body, but the organs actually get stimulated. The stimulation of the organs is similar to going and exercising, right? So in my yoga classes, sometimes I would say to my students that, you know, these poses are just to trick you to start breathing. I just want you to get breathing. I don't really care if you do a handstand. I don't really care if you can do a backbend. What matters is if you are breathing, and the breath will do more work than anything else will do. So when we use the breath to get into the organs in the body, and then we actually consciously connect to those, then the functioning starts to really activate. And we know that the belly is the second brain, right? So if we're breathing into the belly, we're activating the energy in the belly, we're activating the life force in the belly, we're activating the serotonin, all the good hormones that really bring us to life, the endorphins, and we're not stressing out the body that way. When we access breathing maybe in a stressful way, maybe we go for a run and we're breathing really heavily, that actually raises adrenaline and cortisol, the stress hormones. So when we're just sitting and breathing deeply, we can access a greater healing environment in the body by doing that. So there's just a few things. Any other questions on that one?
Yeah, is that what people call the rest and digest state?
Exactly, thank you. So we can use the breath to get the body into that state of rest and digest, exactly. So what you might start to notice is that maybe you're in a breath session, you're sitting and breathing for 10 minutes, you might notice that you start to salivate. That's a good indicator that you've moved into the parasympathetic nervous system. Other ways to feel that is just noticing maybe your sinuses start to clear up because you're in a state of rest and you start to feel those fluids move out of the sinus cavity. Other indicators of being in rest and digest would be you start to feel the tension in your body start to melt away. And deep belly breathing will also access the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is one of the big topics in trauma, right? Healing trauma. On some level, trauma is kind of this big spectrum. You know, maybe we're a little stressed out, and that's kind of like the basic form of trauma is being stressed, all the way to some, you know, what I worked with veterans who had severe PTSD. There's this big spectrum of how do we help people relax their bodies and get back into a state of harmony. So by using the breath, we're able to activate the nerves, the nervous system, and say hello to these parts of ourselves that get left behind when we're stressed out.
I see. So breathing and movement, would it be a good time to touch on that? It seems like movement is very intimately connected to breathing. And I suppose yoga teaches a lot about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, when you go for a jog, you might be breathing pretty heavily. And you might actually start to breathe through the mouth because it's a little easier to breathe through the mouth. But when we can do a movement that's a little bit more slow and focused on moving with the breath, say you're inhaling and reaching the arms up and exhale to let the arms come back down. It's a very different experience of breath and movement, so I just want to make that distinction. So in yoga, we practice focusing on each time there's an inhale, there's a movement. Each time there's an exhale, there's a movement. And that in itself gets you to actually feel and become more conscious of what's happening in whether it's your joints or your limbs, and that will start to help move energy through you. So I say energy, and we'll get deeper into that, but what we're working with when we work with the breath and the body is an entire energy field. So you'll start to notice different shifts when you start to stretch certain muscles. If we're not breathing, you could either harm yourself or maybe not breathe as stretch as deeply. So the breath can help you to gauge where the body can and will open, and therefore making more space for more breath.
So it's a little bit like being more aware and being more present, right, in what you're doing, whether it's exercise or being at work or even in a conversation.
Yeah, it can be. So one of my favorite books is Body Mind by Ken Ditchwald, and it's an older book. And he, in the beginning, gives a picture to the reader of the kind of human that takes his body out for a walk as much as he would a pet, like taking a dog for a walk. And that's a little of what we see in the Western culture of going to a gym. You know, you put your headphones on and you just start running on the treadmill. And there's no connection there. There's no connection to the body. So this is a huge shift for us to be like, oh, I should take the headphones off. I'm going to breathe and move with my body. And that will be a completely different experience from just running on a treadmill and breathing hard. So
yeah,
it's something we can't really teach anybody until you try yourself.
And I think that when you do that, you don't only give oxygen to your cells, but you also give life force that has a certain intention. Possibly you can add intention to your breathing. And that is much more powerful, right? It's adding the consciousness aspect of things
right
into the breathing process.
Yeah, so this is where we get to that place where the Western mind thinks this way and kind of has operated this way until yoga came in. You know, yoga came in and started to really shift the way Westerners looked at the body-mind connection. In the East, they call it prana, breath. It's life force. It's chi. It's what other words are there for it? There's so many different words for this life force. But in the West, we just simply call it breath or energy. But they're really the same thing, breath and energy. So when we start to do a practice like yoga or qigong or these more healing arts practices, we are working with energy. And it's just a mental shift. It's really just a different way to look at it, but it creates such a different experience for the person doing the practice. So very similar to back to that idea of, are we taking our body out for a walk like we would a pet, or are we actually in our bodies and doing something? So that's when we start to feel a difference in the energy flow. So once we start to know these things mentally and have some sort of understanding, and then doing the practice, we can start to experience what's different about just simply breathing in and breathing out, or adding in your intentions, adding the emotions behind it that you want to feel, noticing the emotions you feel, and then working with them.
Okay, good. I think that's a good introduction. So now, can you think about some examples from your life or some from your clients where with breath work you've been able to make a change, either to a physical condition or mental, emotional? Can you think of some examples where you can say, wow, breathwork really changed that?
Yeah, for my own, in my own experience, as I mentioned, I suffered with depression. I went to a workshop with Gary Krafzow, and we sat and did a bunch of different pranayama exercises. And one was a breath retention exercise. And we would inhale, hold the breath in for anywhere from 5 to 20 counts of breath, and then exhale. And after an extended period of practicing that, I started to experience a state of bliss. It was so, it had lifted me, that I'm imagining that the serotonin, the endorphins in my body had lifted to such a high state that I felt that I was almost on some sort of drug. Like I was really high and happy. And so just simply by having that experience of knowing that the breath can bring me into a state of joy, like just by breathing, I could find joy. That's when the shift became personal to me. And so that's when I started to really understand. So in my yoga classes, you know, over the years, my students would just be so grateful that I was supporting them to actually breathe, because they always reflected back to me saying, this feels so much better because you are reminding me to breathe. And what I'm realizing is I don't breathe very much, or I don't breathe very deeply, or there's a whole awareness that happens when we realize, when somebody realizes that they don't breathe very much.
Yeah.
So that in itself can start to, that shift of awareness can start to give them an understanding of how important it is. I'm working with a client right now who has psoriatic arthritis. And we are, first we started with diet, but I just recently added in the breath work for him. And the reason I added it in was because he's a stressed out person. He's a busy guy. He's a single dad with four children. He runs his own business. And, you know, just the nature of his life developed this condition of super high inflammation. So I sent him a video of a few practices, which is what we'll do later. And he has noticed that it helps him just to stay more calm. It helps him to find that state of rest and digest, even when he doesn't have time to necessarily, you know, go to a yoga class. You know, we don't have to go to yoga classes. We can breathe while we're driving to our next appointment. And so he really has mentioned that he stays much calmer throughout the day. And just knowing that that tool is there and available has been really helpful for him to find that.
It removes some stress out of his life, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Because he has somewhere to go when he feels the stress come, instead of, you know, going for a coffee or a candy bar or something.
Yeah, so it puts you back in control a little bit of your life and condition.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen an effect already on the physical body with him or somebody else? I suppose less stress will help.
The physical body, the main thing that I experience, and a lot of people do experience, is a feeling lighter. When you think about a tense body that maybe doesn't move very much, it starts to become, the energy becomes dense. There's stagnation, this sedentary lifestyle. So when there's a practice of breathing and movement, then the energy becomes lighter, if it's freer, because it's moving through us. So I see that in a lot of people, you know, students at the end of class, they're just lighter because they had all this time to breathe and move.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's pretty simple and it's so powerful.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So do you think that with breathing and using the mind and the intention, we could direct the energy to affect the way the body is working and use it as a healing tool? Do you see that? Have you experimented with that? And, you know, we often hear where the mind goes, the energy flows. So I suppose people are using that as a, as a healing tool. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. Where the mind goes, the energy flows. So maybe just take a moment, if you can, experience that for yourself. Go ahead and think about something that you're not happy about. And feel in your body something that you're not happy about. What do you notice? Some of you might be clenching your jaw. Some of you might feel a knot in your stomach. Some of you might feel tension in the eyebrows. Or notice your breathing. How are you breathing when you think about something that's not making you happy right now? Now, take a breath. And when you feel ready, just smile. And now think about something that makes you happy, even if it's an imaginary thing. Notice what's happening in your body when you invite happiness and joy into your body. What are you smiling about? Do you feel your belly release the tension? Can you soften your belly easier? Are you breathing more deeply now? Because usually when there's a state of joy, it's like, it's like a sigh of relief. So when we smile and bring the energy of happiness into the body, you can feel it almost instantly, how the energy shifts. Okay, so relax out of that when you're ready, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. So now you've just experienced how powerful your mind is to change your energy and how simple it is. So very often we'll use visualizations and we'll use intentions and we'll use any sort of tool of the mind. And, you know, it's body, mind, spirit, right? Body, mind, and spirit. The body is all these things and all these functions. We have the physical body, it carries tension, it gets stressed out, it gets sick, it gets all these things. It breathes, it does all these things. But until we add in the mental and the spirit, or maybe some people are more comfortable thinking about the emotional aspect, we tie all those things together, then we are really starting to practice something different. And that's what the Eastern philosophies have brought to us, is this practice of energy shifting into the awareness that we are actually in control. So oftentimes,
very empowering, right?
Yes, so empowering. What we all so desperately need is to reclaim our sovereignty and our power as humans, and to know that we don't need to rely on the pharmaceutical industry or doctors or too many other external sources. We can first start with this practice of breath. How do I feel? How do I want to feel? And by bringing that intention in, the intention can shift. So we might simply think in, let's try this one. If you can, just simply try this. Inhale love and exhale fear. That is bringing in an intention. So if you're breathing and you're just thinking about, you know, I would joke with my students all the time, where are you? Are you thinking about your Starbucks date afterwards, or are you still here breathing? And I invite them back, breathe in love, exhale fear. And maybe it's something different for you. Maybe you're breathing in joy and exhaling sadness, right? So the intentional part can be very simple and so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So you studied sound healing, right?
Yes.
So do you integrate sound with your breath work? And is there any additional benefit when you do that?
Yeah. What I love about sound healing is that sound is such an inherent and ancient healing modality. And live sound is extremely powerful because it's done by a person with an intention and a heart and emotions themselves. So whether it's crystal singing bowls or gongs, it helps the body move into that state of rest and digest. So we're doing a physical practice that is moving into rest and digest. And then there is an external force creating a container for the people who are having that experience. It's like setting an energetic space for the energy to flow with the intention by the people who are playing the music. I have been in breathwork sessions where there was a recorded soundtrack, and it was nice. There was still benefit, but after experiencing the difference between the two, I would always choose a live sound healing. The vibrations are set to activate different chakras. They are set to activate different organs. Gongs will help to move the brain into the theta state, which is a healing state as well. So when you add in all those supportive forces, because sound healing on its own is extremely powerful, But when the person is also actively moving into that state of healing, it's much more powerful. You might notice you've been to a sound healing before, right?
Yes.
Have you ever had a difficult time resting in the sound healing because your mind was busy?
No.
No. Okay, good. A lot of people have said that to me. You know, sometimes it takes 20 to 30 minutes just to get the mind to stop if they're just resting in a sound healing. But when we do sound healing and breath work, then we're getting the mind into the body. We're getting the fluctuations of the mind, the mental activity has a chance to go away, because the breath becomes the focus.
And I heard that you cannot think and breathe at the same time. Is that right?
I would agree you'd have to try it yourself, right? I always experience that. And when I recognize my mind is too busy, it's because I stop breathing, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Which one came first? Did my mind get busy or did I stop breathing?
Yeah.
I sometimes ask myself that question, because how often we just don't think about the breath, and yet, you know, we can go about 30 days without food.
Mm-hmm.
We can go about 3 days without water. And we know this one, you know, but we can't go more than 3 minutes without the breath.
Right. Mm-hmm. 7 maybe for some
advanced people, right?
Yeah. So what about singing and or humming? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so that's another vagus nerve practice, I would say. That's the first thing that comes to mind. When the vocal cords are vibrating, when you can use your own vocal cords as your tuning fork for your body, they are vibrating at a frequency that your body needs. You don't even have to think about it. I experienced the deepest sleep after humming for 30 minutes. And it was the best sleep I've had in a long time. And it is a controlled breathing practice. To be able to hum for a long time, it's an exhalation. The exhalation brings the body into rest and digest. So think about, on if you are exhaling with sound, on with your own sound, your own physical vibration, you can't help but have every single cell just so happy.
Yeah. And you can probably ask your body what it needs, right?
Absolutely.
It may take a little bit of training, but
yeah, intention.
The body should know.
The intentions you carry are the most powerful thing you have. And what I've noticed, for example, I was in an energy healing session, and I noticed that I wasn't feeling the energy moving. First of all, I wasn't breathing enough. So I recognized that. And then I had to actually intend for the energy to move. And I actually told my body, I said to my body, okay, open, relax, and receive. Afterwards, when I talked to the practitioner, she said she felt it too. She said, at first, I was processing the energy for you. And then at some point, you finally started to, the energy did start to move through you. So that was a confirmation of the intention we have to let energy move. But if I didn't breathe, I wouldn't have felt it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not breathing, you're probably not feeling your body.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to say more about breathing and emotion? We talked about mm-hmm. that already. I don't know if you have more to say about that. I feel it's really important, because emotions have a big impact on the health, and breathing is such an easy way to deal with them instead of just ignoring them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more to say there?
Yeah, I would love to elaborate a little bit on anxiety and depression
mm-hmm.
and anger or frustration. That may sound like a lot, but that covers a pretty wide range of experience. Essentially, when you're depressed, you're thinking about the past, and when you're anxious, your mind is busy and worried about the future. So that in itself is a whole package of repressed emotions, suppressed emotions. And our society doesn't give us much space to process emotions at all. So in a workshop with Gary Krafsaw, as I mentioned him before, we talked about the difference between when we're working with a client and say our client is anxious. Well, the practice is very different than a client who's depressed. So this is very important for people to feel and work within their own bodies. Breath work can be really great for many things, but some of these practices are very specific for anxiety and some are very specific for depression. And if we don't do the right one, it could aggravate the symptoms. So I want to stress that, because say you're anxious, and then you go see Wim Hof or something, and you practice this method, you know, this hyperventilating method, and it's really intense. That could aggravate the anxiety, unfortunately. So that could be fun for someone who's depressed, because it's uplifting energy. So think about it in terms of energy. Depression is a very downward focused energy. It's an energy that brings you into stagnation and moves you towards the past or just sort of towards stuckness. So the way out of that is to breathe in more inhalation, more excitement of the cells. Maybe you breathe faster and you're moving faster with your breath, very quick movements with your breath. Maybe you need to go for a jog and breathe heavily. Anxiety is quite the opposite. An anxious person really benefits from long exhalations, soothing music maybe to go along with those longer exhalations that will help to bring them back to the present moment and remember that they are okay in this space. And anxiety, you know, in that realm, worry and depression makes me think of, you know, grief, sadness, all those things. And then somewhere in the middle, there's anger and frustration. And that's it's a fiery place to be that causes a lot of tension in the body. And so maybe for someone with anger, you might just have a very simple practice. Just breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Just very balanced to help bring that person back to balance and start to release some tension. And you could feel that pretty instantly when you think of what does it feel like in your body to be angry? It's tense, it's tension. So we need the breath to move that through us.
Yeah, that's very, very important to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to know what to do and what not to do in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So is there more you want to say about breathing and consciousness? Is there more to say about that before we do some breathing exercises, maybe?
Yeah, so what comes to mind I'd like to touch on is the fear factor. And sometimes it takes really intense experiences to actually be in the moment. You know, so imagine that you're coming up against a really fearful, you're afraid of something, but it awakened you to that moment. Like, and what happens? The reaction is a big inhale. So consciousness can be a pretty elusive term. It's very broad. If you just keep it simple, as everything is conscious, it just matters about the state of consciousness that you want to have in your life. And when you're living a very maybe safe, routine life, sedentary, nothing's really awakening you to the now moment, we can study what the ancient yogis were bringing to us and saying, oh, breath is consciousness. Breath will make you aware. Breath will bring you into the moment. And so hopefully we don't have to have, you know, fearful experiences or intense experiences all the time to awaken us to, like, oh yeah, I do want to live. You know, when I think of being afraid, it might be because my life was just sort of challenged in that moment. I'm like, oh, I got to pay attention. I've got to waken up to this moment. So in those really simple ways, we can look at consciousness in that way. What is consciousness? It's whether we're awake or asleep, whether we're alive or we're dead. If we're not breathing, we're dead. If we stop breathing, the consciousness goes away. So we can play with consciousness with breath too. So holotropic breath work, for example, as I mentioned before, I had this experience of oneness. There was no other way to describe it. I just had the feeling, the sensation. There are lots of people who have shared stories that it felt like a psychedelic experience for them. They went off into a different realm. They had visions. They had almost like a dreamlike state, and it brought them to a completely different state of awareness. So there's many ways you can look at what consciousness is and the breath, and that's what's so exciting, because until you try it,
yeah,
it's an experience.
It can be a trip, right?
It's a trip.
So could you talk a little bit about how can we integrate this into our lives? Because, you know, I think if we don't develop a practice, it's easy to forget about it very quickly and then go back to our old ways of not breathing very much.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend so that something sticks and that we really benefit from getting more oxygen into the body? And then, you know, we'll do whatever we need to do with it. But what would be your recommendation so that we learn from this and we don't forget about breathing? And mm-hmm. So is there a best time to practice, a best place to practice, so that we can get as much oxygen as possible into the body?
Okay. Yeah. I would begin with asking yourself the question, what's the problem in my life I want to solve right now? And when does it show up? If I'm having trouble sleeping, use the breath to support sleep. So for those of us who, we'll start there. If sleeping is a struggle for you, set the intention to take 5 minutes before you go to bed to breathe. And maybe humming is also the practice. There's many ways we can do that. So I would suggest if you'd like to breathe, use the breath to help you sleep better. Whatever you need to do to remind yourself, you know, sometimes creating a new habit is challenging. Like they say 21 days helps you to create a new habit, and you have to do it consistently. So it starts with the awareness that there's a problem, and then the intention to change that problem. And that in itself is the first step. How do we do that? Can I make this a practice? Can I commit? Once that commitment is there, you set yourself a timer, and maybe for just 5 minutes, inhale deeply, maybe to a count of four, and then exhale twice as long. Exhale to a count of eight. And that's a really simple way to help your body get into rest and digest. Inhale to a four count, maybe pause for a breath or two or a moment or two, and then exhale twice as long as you inhale. And that, if you can do it for even 1 minute, can help you sleep a lot deeper. If, for example, the opposite, you have trouble waking up in the morning and you have trouble because you keep hitting the snooze button. I'm not sure how to correct the problem of hitting the snooze button. But maybe your alarm says something like, time to breathe. Maybe before you get out of bed, you realize, oh, I need to take a moment and breathe. And it could be, again, just 1 minute long of a full deep breath in. Hold it in for a moment and then sigh it out. Because our dream state, sometimes there's a lot of things going on. And especially if you didn't get a good night's sleep or you're feeling just sluggish in general, for whatever reason, the breath can help you to awaken to the day. So I would say, choose where you see the problem in your day, set a timer, and then use one of the practices that we go over during this talk or in the video that's coming up next. So remember, inhaling more, focusing on more oxygen to oxygenate the cells will wake you up. Exhaling longer will help you rest. Say you're getting tense in the middle of the day. Maybe around 10 o'clock, you're like already dozing off because you're getting stressed out about work, you're feeling tense at your desk, you're realizing that you just want to get snacky, maybe you're snacking on things at your desk or you want more coffee or whatever it is. Instead of doing that, remind yourself, maybe you put a note on your wall in your office, right? Remind yourself to use the breath first. Maybe you need to stand up. Maybe you need to do a few jumping jacks to get your body breathing again, because that will help you to start to awaken. And if you are snacking, make sure it's some fruit or something healthy, right? So you can use foods to, we didn't talk much about foods for oxygen, but oh my gosh, if we bring in live foods They carry life force energy. Maybe they don't necessarily carry oxygen in the way we think about it, but they do carry prana. And that is the life force energy that is so important. And those foods, like having an apple in the middle of the day, the crunching, the sounds, the eating the apple can wake you up better than a cup of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. But it requires the awareness. So that's the biggest thing, is to make the decision that you want to make a change, and then the changes will come because the tools are there.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you. And then could you use breathing for detoxification as well? I think I heard something about that.
Mm-hmm. So when we exhale, we are releasing CO2, carbon dioxide. And that in itself is carrying toxins out from the organs, out from the blood. It's helping to cleanse and purify. So just by simply knowing that, hopefully that makes it a little more important to breathe and exhale fully. So as I mentioned, you know, just by knowing that the exhalation brings you into state of rest and digest, it's also actually digesting and releasing some of those toxins that you've just absorbed throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, shall we do the breathing exercises again?
Sounds good, yeah.
Okay.
So let's begin with a belly breathing. And just something to be aware of, the diaphragm moves downward. So there's a diaphragm that's right underneath the ribs, and there's a diaphragm at the base of the pelvis. And those diaphragms, when you breathe in, they move down. And so they create a little bit of compression on the organs. So that's why it's so important to belly breathe. So wherever you are, if you want to join us now or just listen, take a moment and soften your belly. And then from that place of softening, just begin to exhale. Feel the belly start to curl slightly in. And now inhale towards the navel. Feel the navel push forward. Inhale, inhale. And again, exhale. Feel the navel draw back and slightly towards the spine. Good. Now imagine that you're blowing up a balloon. On the inhale, feel your belly expand in 360 degrees. And then slowly exhale. And if it's a little challenging to do this, it's okay. Just the more you practice, the better you'll get. Again, inhale into the belly. Feel the belly expand all 360 degrees. And then slowly exhale. So this is breathing practice number one, yogic breathing number one, belly breathing.
And the benefit is?
The benefit is to bring the body into rest and digest, because you are stimulating the organs. You're stimulating the lower half of the spine. So the lower half of the spine and the organs and, you know, the pelvis are all, of course, related to rest and digest, because that is physically where we are digesting. So the breathing stimulates and awakens those
organs,
activated centers, yeah. Right? It mm-hmm. activates those nerves and helps them to remember what they're doing. Because if we're always holding our energy somewhere else, those organs slow down. They don't, yeah, they're not as active.
And so when would you do this exercise?
I try to breathe in my belly every day all day long. So the more we practice, rather than breathing in the upper chest, because that's the most common place people breathe, they think about breathing in the chest. See if you can't shift that every time you just kind of notice, oh, are my shoulders a little tense? Am I breathing into my upper chest? Oh, okay. If I relax my shoulders, breathe into the belly, does that help? It yeah. should help you to stay more relaxed and more
present
in your body.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
More present.
Good.
Okay, so a little bit more on the belly breathing before we move on. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I may not have mentioned, but in my opera class in college, my opera singer teacher told me that I was doing too many abdominal exercises because my voice was not opening. It's like, you can't take a deep breath, you can't sing, you need to stop doing your Pilates every morning. And it was a really hard thing for me to accept because that was how I stayed healthy and happy, was to, you know, work on my flat abs, you know, and that's really what this society has stressed for so many generations now. And unfortunately, that cuts us off from our belly breathing. So, and that also really restricts the organs. So I encourage you, wherever you are in your physical health, you know, start to allow your belly to soften and you'll notice that vital energy moving. So this belly breath is really the foundation of all the breath practices. So we'll practice now a balancing breath, something that's going to help us focus. So if in the middle of the day you're just getting distracted, the mind is getting busy, maybe you're feeling a little tired, in order to bring ourselves back to focus, then we do a practice called Nadi Shodhana, or alternate nostril breathing. And by bringing one hand up to the face, you can use your thumb and your maybe ring finger or even pinky finger if you like to close off one nostril and then the other. I like to put my index finger and middle finger on my forehead, on my third eye center, and use the thumb and ring finger to close off the nostrils. So we'll begin by taking a deep breath in through both nostrils and exhaling out both nostrils. And then close off the left nostril and breathe in through the right. Pause, close the right nostril, and breathe out through the left. Pause and inhale through the left nostril again. Close the left nostril and breathe out through the right. Inhale through the right. Close the right nostril, exhale through the left. Inhale through the left. Close the left nostril, exhale through the right. And one last full round here, inhale through the right. Close the right nostril, exhale through the left. Inhale through the left side. Close the left nostril and exhale through the right. And relax your hand down and take a deep breath into both nostrils. And exhale. And take a moment to notice how that felt for you. Anything shifted?
Very calming.
Yeah. Very centering. So in yoga, yoga teaches us how the energy moves through the body. So the right side being the Ida channel, left side being the Pingala. The right side, the energy moves up through the body. The left side, the energy moves down. Sometimes we just simply think of it as masculine, feminine, or sun side and moon side. And
so which one is up and which one is down?
The right side, the energy moves up, and the left side, the energy moves down. Okay. And so as you notice in the practice, we did both. And that's why it helps to balance the energy. So you're giving both sides a chance to move equally. Inhale, exhale on each side. So that's helps us to find that center. Okay, breath of fire. As we talked about, when we exhale, we are releasing carbon dioxide. We're releasing toxins. Whatever is going on in there. A lot of stuck emotions usually. Toxic energy can be both emotional and physical. So Kapalabhati is the Sanskrit name for this one. And as I mentioned before, I wouldn't suggest this one for someone who's maybe really anxious or maybe extra tired. This one can be create a lot of heat in the body. That's why it's called breath of fire. We're creating heat to really activate the body in general to bring that life force into awareness and activation. So let's just take a moment to exhale and then inhale. And just try one big, short, and forceful exhale. Just try, see how that works. So what we're going to do is only exhale. Don't even think about the inhale. Just focus on exhaling. So try that twice now. Good. So we'll do that 10 times, and then take a break, take a breath, and then another 10 times, nice and slow. So again, release all the breath out. And inhale, and exhale, and deep breath in, and relax. Good. So now that we have the rhythm, I'll guide us through just one more time. Inhale, and exhale. Big inhale. And soften and relax. And how did that one feel?
For me, it clears the head.
Yeah, it clears the sinuses, clears the head. Do you notice your mental energy?
Yeah, I think there's more space and vitality up there.
Great, awesome. So that's maybe another one that's great for the middle of the day. Maybe mm-hmm. you're feeling distracted. Maybe you prefer that one. I wouldn't suggest that one for pregnant people. If you're pregnant, breath of fire, probably not the best, not the safest. And also for those of you who might have heart conditions. So be gentle with yourself with these more intense practices. So now we'll move on to something that can either uplift or relax down. And this is good to practice for yourself and see which one feels better. One, as I mentioned before, might be better for anxiety or depression, but only you'll know. So this one is called Viloma, and Viloma means going against the grain. And when we go against the grain, we learn how to actually control the energy in our body. And so energy and breath, same thing, right? We're controlling the breath, controlling the energy. So when you're ready, exhale all the breath out of your belly. And take in just a small sip of breath. Inhale just one third. And again, inhale the second third. And inhale the last third. And a slow, long, full exhale. All the breath out. Good. Inhale one third, another third, and inhale the final third, and a slow, long exhale. Good. And a little slower this time. Inhale one third and hold. Inhale the second third and hold. Inhale the final third and hold. And a slow exhale. Return to a natural breath and notice how that felt for you. And we'll try the opposite, and then we'll talk about how the changes are. So this time, when you're ready, take a full deep breath in. Exhale one third. Exhale the second third. And exhale the final third. Good. Full deep breath in. Exhale one third, exhale second third, and exhale all the breath out, final third. One more time, full deep breath in. Exhale one third, and another third, and the final third, and return to a natural breath. And take a moment to see and notice how those two felt for you. They have a very different effect. And you can experience them differently from the next person. So one person might experience the first one as stimulating. Another person might experience the first one as relaxing. And the same with the second breath. And I've seen that happen with all of them. So it's really unique to what your needs are. So that's why the breath gets, it's so fun to explore all these different practices and find out which one really works for you and why, and what is it that you want to feel.
Yeah, that's really interesting. The relaxing one was stimulating for me, energizing.
Which one was
the last one?
The second one was stimulating.
Yeah. Energizing.
Yeah. See how different? And some people might experience that as relaxing. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. I think that's enough for now, right? In terms of breathing practices, is there anything else you want to recommend?
I just want to remind us of the one I mentioned before a little earlier, mm-hmm. of the inhaling for 4 counts and exhaling for 8 counts.
Yeah.
Should we practice that one?
Which is very relaxing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, let's do that one a few times. Mm-hmm. So this would be probably closer to my second favorite. Really important one. Okay, so take a moment and relax and take an inhale for 4 counts. And hold for the count of 2 or 3. And exhale for 8 counts. Full long breath out, twice as long as the inhale. Inhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. And hold for 3, 2, 1. And exhale for 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, and hold 3, 2, 1, and exhale 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Last time, inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, hold 3, 2, 1, exhale 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and take a nice deep breath in and let it out.
I like that one.
That's a nice one. So those ones, pick and choose a couple, play with them, try them out. Everyone's needs different things.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for these wonderful exercises. Mm-hmm. And
thank
so
you.
we are going to post a video of just these breathing exercises so that you can go back and look at them when you've forgotten about them and you want to refresh your memory. So we'll post that in the resources section.
Sounds great. Yes.
Yeah. So any final thought on the breathing breath work? Before we talk with our second speaker of the day,
I would just say to keep it simple. There are so many practices to choose from, and just breathe. You know, if you want to go deeper into it, great. But just remember to breathe. Keep it simple.
That is very simple. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So this is really wonderful information that we can immediately incorporate into our lives and start watching the benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing so much of what you've learned on this topic. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Now let's talk with Dr. Robert Rowan and get his perspective on breathing, oxygen, and health. Dr. Rowan has been practicing medicine for more than 30 years. He graduated from medical school at the University of California, San Francisco, and received board certification in family practice and emergency medicine. Finding that pharmacological medicine could do more harm than good, Dr. Rowan made the leap to integrative medicine in the 80s. Dr. Rowan has been a pioneer in oxidation therapy, chelation therapy, and IV nutritional therapy. He works with nutrition and diet and looks at energetic disturbances to the body, such as surgical scars and dental lesions. Dr. Rowan has successfully treated problems from acute and chronic pain to Lyme and associated diseases, chronic infections, autoimmune diseases, heart disease, heavy metal poisoning, mysterious ailments, mold illnesses, digestive disorders, degenerative joint and vertebral conditions, and more. Dr. Rowan, welcome to the Solari Wellness Series. So, from a high-level point of view, I know this may sound a little basic, but what is the connection between oxygen and health, and why is it important to get enough oxygen into the body?
Oxygen is the foundation of all life, all animal life. And I'll try to give you an analogy. When you plug your lamp into the wall, there are two connections. Correct?
Yes.
One is a positive, one is a negative. Mm-hmm. If you only had one line going into the wall, would your light come on?
Probably not.
No, it wouldn't. You're correct. Oxygen, when you eat, you take in food, you take in calories, and they have an abundance of electrons. But without oxygen, they have no place to go. So getting back to your lamp, you could plug one wire into the wall and there's electrons that can come into the light bulb, but they have nowhere to go, so the light doesn't come on. Mm-hmm. You need oxygen to collect those electrons to make energy and do work. And without oxygen, your body comes to a dead stop, exactly like that light in the analogy.
Mm-hmm. So is it like a carrier for nutrients?
No, it's not a carrier. It is what makes energy in your body.
Mm-hmm. Is it the fuel?
What would happen? Here's another example. What would happen if you put a plastic wrapper over the carburetor of your engine?
Oh, no oxygen, so it stops working, right?
Exactly. Same thing here.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's not the fuel, but it enables the fuel to do its job, to create energy.
That is correct.
Yeah, the fuel being the nutrients, the food, coming from the food, basically.
Oxygen is the most important substance to the body. You can live 3 minutes without oxygen. You can live 3 days without water, and you can live 30 days without food. That's a rule of thumb.
Yeah.
3 minutes without oxygen. And it's sort of like unplugging your light bulb without oxygen.
Yeah, I see. Okay, good. So are there any organs that would be most affected by a lack of oxygen, whether it is caused by shallow breathing or the environment?
The organ that is most susceptible to oxygen availability is the brain. You will lose consciousness in seconds if oxygen stops to the brain. And your brain will begin to die in 3 minutes if there's no oxygen, but you'll lose consciousness much faster than that. Mm-hmm. The heart is somewhat similar, but the brain is the most sensitive. Mm-hmm. All organs will be damaged by a lack of oxygen. Shallow breathing, that's too complicated. You may have shallow but rapid breathing that's bringing enough oxygen in. And you mentioned the environment, and the environment affects everything. Toxins in the environment, air pollution in the environment, and I'm sure you're concerned about the lowering amount of oxygen in our atmosphere. That's especially true in the cities. In cities where you have tall buildings and you have internal combustion engines, I have seen reports that oxygen availability can drop by even a third, and that will have health impacts, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you think, obviously, that lower oxygen levels in the atmosphere are already causing some problems for some people. And are you personally seeing the effects of this in your practice already or not yet?
I can't pinpoint that specifically. I don't work in a big city. Mm-hmm. And I work very close to the Pacific Ocean, so there's an abundance of decent air coming in. But if I was living in a super mega city, say the east end of Los Angeles, on a stagnant day, yeah, I can imagine that there would be some problems. And people would just not feel very good because they're not going to have much voltage in their body because they don't have oxygen to make energy, or they don't have enough oxygen.
Yeah. So besides doing some breath work to bring more air in, but if the air quality is not very good, I suppose that's not, it's not a good idea, right? To breathe more deeply. What do you think?
You have to breathe. Whether the air is good or not, you have to breathe. I don't know the impact of shallow breathing versus deep breathing in the presence of significant air pollution. I haven't seen anything on point to that. Mm-hmm. But you do have to breathe. And I've been in Delhi, India, where the air pollution was thick enough that you could literally cut it. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible. Did I want to take deep breaths? No, yeah. I intuitively didn't want to. So all that means is that instead of poisoning all of my lungs with a deep breath, I was only poisoning the shallow breathing part of my lungs more.
Yeah. Okay. And so if we want to optimize our oxygenation level, are there solutions that are available today?
Probably thinking of, you know, breathing supplemental oxygen. It's not a bad idea, especially at night. Many people have sleep apnea. They stop breathing at night and their oxygen levels plummet. And that's a prescription, in my opinion, for cancer, because cancer thrives in a low or arises in a low oxygen environment. So I sometimes will tell people to get an oxygen concentrator and hook it up and then breathe it through their nose at night. So they're enriching themselves at night when they're most vulnerable with some additional oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other methods as well to help this. And the one that I do the most is ozone therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Ozone therapy really helps the body's oxygen metabolism. It makes red cells more flexible. It's red cells that carry oxygen. The real goal here is to get what oxygen is available to your lungs. And I'm in agreement. It's decreasing. And we could be destroying the planet. But let's talk about part solutions.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to get what oxygen is available through your lungs, into your bloodstream, and delivered to your tissues. I like ozone therapy because it improves red cell metabolism for delivering oxygen. The red cell cargo is oxygen, like a train has cargo. And when it reaches the small capillaries where your tissues are, it has to empty that cargo. So the cells in the periphery, out in your tissues, your organs, can grab the oxygen and burn it for energy. If the oxygen is not released, then the red cells go through the capillary, don't release it. And while you might have oxygen in your body, your tissues are starving for the oxygen. So I like ozone because it improves the capability of the red blood cell to carry oxygen. It improves the red cell's flexibility. The red cell happens to be of larger diameter than the capillary it's going through. So it has to fold, flex, and bend to get through, and ozone assists that process. Ozone increases something called 2,3-DGP in the red cell, and that causes the red cell to dump more oxygen into the tissues. And those are the big three mechanisms by which ozone helps with oxygen metabolism. Ozone does other things, but you're focused on oxygen right now.
Right. Okay. So, and who would you recommend this to for the purpose that we are discussing right now, oxygenation?
Referring to by this?
Ozone therapy to increase the oxygenation of the body.
Thank you. I think ozone would benefit just about anybody. I do it myself simply for prevention, to keep my body as sharp as I can. I recommend it for athletes to have better oxygenation. I recommend it for sick people because you get oxygen in, your cells can make energy to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually do think it's a treatment that virtually everybody could benefit by. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to sell it to people, but I think it has value to just about everything under the sun. It does more to treat more conditions than anything I've ever seen in medicine, standard medicine combined. And I believe it's doing that through these oxygen mechanisms and also helping to modulate the immune system.
Mm-hmm. And you need to do that through IV?
Some you can do through IV. That's probably the best, but you can take it rectally. You can take the gas, it's a gas, rectally. You can make ozone water and drink it. You can take it in your ear. Women can take vaginal ozone. And you can get into a body bag or a sauna and let it get absorbed through your skin. So there's lots of ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so do you know of any other ways to increase the or optimize the oxygenation of the body?
There's another one.
Uh-huh.
A long time ago, a German man, I think he was German, Manfred von Arden, developed a technique called exercise with oxygen therapy. Mm-hmm. Now, he called it multi-step oxygen therapy. Here in the West, we call it exercise with oxygen. And here you do exercise, and it doesn't matter what kind of exercise it is. You just do some hard exercise while you're breathing as high oxygen, like close to 100%. And there's modifications of this. One particular method promoted by a company called LiveO2 has you breathing oxygen that's in a bag. It's your reservoir. And then you throw a little lever and it takes you up to high altitude, like 9,000 feet altitude, based on oxygen pressure that you're breathing. And this favorably stresses the body. The body responds and builds itself by stresses. And this is a stress to the body by making it temporarily hypoxic when you go to high altitude. And then your blood vessels open up wide because they're wanting more oxygen. And then you throw the lever and now you're breathing 100% oxygen again. And your body literally gets flooded with oxygen, just a flood. And that helps turn the aging clock back on your capillaries.
Interesting.
Well studied. He's got your listeners can probably find the book online. Manfred von Arden, A-R-D-E-N-N-E. I got my book off of Amazon, and I think he called it multi-step oxygen therapy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is a little bit simulating living at a higher altitude, but you breathe in a higher concentration of oxygen, so it has an even stronger effect on the body, right?
It takes you artificially to high altitude, which mm-hmm. gives you a stress on your body, which is good. And then when you're stressed at high altitude and working out hard and you need more oxygen, you throw a lever and it opens it up to 100% oxygen. And now, while your body's blood vessels were wide open, looking for oxygen, it gets it.
Yeah.
And your body now gets flooded all over with oxygen. And it helps to reverse the aging clock in your capillaries, both lungs and periphery, so that more red cells can get through easier.
Mm-hmm. Good. And have you heard about oxygen as a dietary supplement? I see on Amazon some liquids, it's not liquid oxygen, but oxygen in a liquid form.
The chemical in that is sodium chlorite, C-H-L-O-R-I-T-E. Now, it does have medicinal properties. In terms of oxygen content, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's...
But it has medicinal properties.
Uh-huh. Anything you want to mention now, or it's not relevant?
Well, it might be. It might help people who have infection because it has a reactive form of oxygen. But in terms of getting what your goal is here, is more oxygen into the system for combustion, no. I don't think you're getting squat with it.
Yeah, I see. Okay, and then I was thinking, I heard recently about this blood flow restricted form of exercise that comes from Japan, the Katsu method, that Dr. Mercola is promoting right now as the latest way to hack your body. So if you, so the reasoning is that if blood flow restricted exercise can have positive effects on the body, do you think that oxygen restriction could have also some positive effects? Is that what you were talking about just a minute ago?
It's exactly what I was talking about, okay. The exercise with oxygen. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so stressing the body can be good, but of course you don't want to stress it too much, right?
All, we build our muscles by stressing them, by pumping iron. And if you don't pump iron and stress your body, it gets flabby.
Yeah.
The same thing here. This type of stress to the body is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Still, what do you think of the, you know, the little devices that you can use to measure the oxygenation level of your body, the oxygen saturation? Is that useful to start using to get an idea of how much oxygen gets into our body, or is it not an accurate measurement? Do you know
that's called a pulse oximeter?
Yes.
And all it is doing is it's measuring the oxygen saturation at your fingernail.
In the blood or in the fingernail?
Well, in the blood underneath the fingernail.
Uh-huh. So is it representative of how well we are oxygenating all the cells of the body?
Yes and no. If the pulse oximeter was showing an oxygen saturation, say, of 91, I'd say you got significant trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time it's going to say 98, 99, and it's not going to tell you much.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else that you would like, any other recommendation that you would like to share with our audience regarding this topic of oxygen for health and wellness?
Well, even if oxygen is present and you have oxygen, if you're not eating a good diet, you're not going to burn the oxygen that you want. My mantra is, if God didn't make it, don't eat it. Eat what grows around you, ripe, raw, organic, and if possible, when in season.
Yeah. And local, if...
Local is best if available.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Rowan and Sky, for spending some of your precious time with us today. Breathwork is a tool that we can easily use to improve our health and well-being. And then there are other options as well, as you heard from Dr. Rowan. If our listeners feel inspired to work with either one of you, they can find you both on my wellness platform at hiloha.com. Look in the private yoga or nutrition category for Sky Birdsall and in the second opinion category for Dr. Rowan. This is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. Thank you for listening and take good care of yourself, because it's more fun to be well.